We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of your spirit who helps us and illuminates your word that we might ingest that word deeply into our thoughts, our hearts, our souls, and our lives. Lord, may this be a moment where we humble ourselves before you, where we lower ourselves that you might be exalted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a known fact that we all have a tendency to be pretty self-absorbed. That began long ago with a couple people named Adam and Eve. Now, what is new is there are a million more messages and marketing today to help you be more and more and more self-absorbed. Everything's directed to you, about you. You are the center of the world, right? Some of you know you're not actually the center. Some of you are now hearing this for the first time. Well, I want to share a little story to contrast a little bit because it's almost time for the NFL season to begin. This is the year. You act like you know what I'm going to say. This is the year the Cowboys end their drought, right? Well, I want to share a story about two different football players. Barry Sanders, one of the best running backs ever, played for the Detroit Lions. It was almost like watching a ballet when he ran. I remember one time when he played the Cowboys, one person missed him three times on the same play. He was brilliant. And when he would score a touchdown, he would immediately take the ball to the ref and leave the field. Sober and silent. Then there was this other football player named Terrell Owens. I'll just say he was with the 49ers. I remember watching a game where he scored a touchdown. He ran to the sideline, grabbed a fan's popcorn, started throwing it in his mouth through his helmet, and as the camera followed him along, he looked right into the camera and said, "I love me some me." Sober and silent, I love me some me. Self-absorption is only getting worse. Everything plays to that part of us that loves ourselves. We are actually drunk on ourselves in many ways, and there's all sorts of slurred phrases that come along with being drunk on yourself, apart from "I love me some me." Another couple phrases are "you do you," or maybe "do what makes you what? Happy." Please don't say that around me. If you do, duck, because I'm swinging. The net effect of all of this and living like this is there seems to be no limit to how high we raise ourselves up in this world. And the reality is, in the same process of raising ourselves up, we bring God down. Almost as if we could put him on the same level as ourselves. Many today live as if God, the Creator, is a peer to you or to me. So, I want to use a little silly example. Some of you have been through boot camp, some of you haven't, but everyone has an image of a drill sergeant, right? Drill sergeants do a lot of yelling, right? And they're always yelling at all the basic trainees. Let's imagine, if you will, the drill sergeant is yelling at you and he's doing something and you're observing it and you raise your hand and say, "Excuse me, drill sergeant, you're doing that wrong." You might say that, once, right? Or, hey, drill sergeant, you do you, I'll do me. Or, hey, drill sergeant, I'm here in boot camp to do what makes me happy, and it doesn't make me happy waking up at 3 a.m., so wake me up when the bus comes and we get to go shoot guns at the range. How's that going to work? Right? All of us know this is silly and it's ridiculous because we know the difference between a drill sergeant and one who is in boot camp. And I would actually say most of us probably even fear a drill sergeant more than we fear God himself. You remember the God on top of Mount Sinai who came down and the people were terrified and they said, Moses, you go for us, we'll stay right here. They didn't even want to come near the mountain, which was smart because God said, if you do and you cross this border, you will be struck down dead. That fear of who God is in his fullness seems to be lost on most of the world today, and sadly lost even on many followers in the church. We want to approach God and talk about God as if God and us are on the same level. Today, it seems, if we were to contrast the image of Moses and Israel before the mountain, that today we feel empowered to march ourselves pridefully up to the top of the mountain that we might tell God what's up. Tell him, hey, I realize you made everything and all, but, you know, you're not running it exactly the way I would like. This is our nature. This is what we do. And then we come to Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. And this is coming on the tail end of chapters 9 to 11, where there was some confusion among the Jews of how Gentiles are becoming part of God's chosen nation in Christ. And here's what Paul says. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. When we have a tendency to be drunk on ourselves, God has a tendency to give us the sobering word that we need. In these verses that Paul has here in Romans 11, 33 through 36, we can have this summary. You'll never know all that God knows. God has no peers, which includes you and me. He lacks absolutely nothing because he's the one who made everything. A couple more pills to swallow. You are not God. God will never have to give an account to you for what he does. Your vision, my vision, your understanding, my understanding is at best severely stunted by our selfish nature. And you are dependent upon him, whether you want to admit it or not. These words and truths ought to sober all of us up. But for the ones that are most self-absorbed, you hate words like this. You don't want there to be somebody who can be over you and you have to simply accept what he says about a thing. We have a tendency to want to believe, no, we should be able to weigh in all of these matters. As if God could be across the table for us and say, I'm so glad you got here. Please give me some counsel in running things. But it's what we do. We think that we can make arrangements in how we live, in what we believe, in what we think. We think, you know, I'm so close to Jesus, I know he'll give me an exception here. This is our mentality. But Paul reminds us there is this dimension and part of God which you cannot search and you will not know how and why he does things the way he does. And when you don't know these things, you have one option, and that is simply this, is to say, yes, Lord, I trust you. I trust in your faithfulness, your goodness, your infinite wisdom, and I just look to you. But then there is that part of God where he reveals himself to us. How do we know anything about God? The only way we will know anything about God is if God chooses to reveal himself in some way to us. And it's exactly what he did in the person of Christ. It's exactly what he does in the Scriptures. The Scriptures don't answer every question. The purpose of the Scriptures isn't to answer every question. The purpose of Scriptures is to deliver to you, to me, and to all the world the person of Christ, the one who dies for sinners who get puffed up like me, like you. You know, if you're fortunate, you have a spouse who will also bring you low when you raise yourself too high. Which reminds me of a quote from seminary. I did hear that the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds eerily similar to your wife's voice. See, as we humble ourselves before the Lord, it's a posture we take when we open the pages of Scripture that we know that the Lord may bring us low, may point out our sin, that we might turn from that sin and turn to him as beggars in need of mercy, in need of forgiveness, in need of a new heart. And so when God reveals to you and to me who he is, we trust in what he says. What he says about us and what he says to us. St. Paul in chapter 12, verse 2 says, "No longer let your minds be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that renewing begins right here. Right in these Scriptures where the Spirit has promised to transform you and me and to point out when we are more conformed with the world than the ways of God. It's my prayer this morning that you and I would indeed humble ourselves, that we would be more sober and silent than so willing to say, I love me some me. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, You have a very direct word for us today, Lord, and I pray that your Spirit has removed all obstacles for our hearing of that word. Lord, help us to mold ourselves and conform ourselves to the life and example of Jesus Christ, who shows us that the greatest of these is the one who serves the least. The last will be first. Lord, in your kingdom, everything is turned upside down from what the world tells us. So, Lord, may you walk with us, lead us, direct us, discipline us, and lead us back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.